together. Come on. While I pray, no matter. You can't be breaking down and falling out. You're going to break out your prayer. Break out your word. You're going to break out some praise. Last time, when somebody clapped your hands, it's a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got.
Good morning, family. Know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated. Welcome to Real Talk with Pastor E and Minister Carolyn. Yes, we are continuing our variety of Real Talk discussions. We have dived into the arena of violence in any kind of manner, and we keep this forum open for anyone who needs an ear. We keep this forum open for anyone who needs a microphone. We keep this forum open for anyone who needs collaboration, that we can continue to move forward and find a solution to the problems that are going on in our society. But family, we'll give our disclaimer now. Family, we are fully devoted to Jesus Christ. We believe that the door of salvation is always open to those in search of the truth. And yes, with open arms, our ministry will demonstrate God's love and concern for our fellow man at every given opportunity. And yes, through works of charity and by actions in love, we feel that we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, and we will reach the lost and unsaved. Yes, that's our dedication and our commitment. We're excited to continue this this journey of going forward and seeing what we can do as a collective party of different individuals, but with the same goal to help someone else find true life, find true freedom, and to know. And in this hour, we are in a very dynamic place to be, because this is the remembrance of who paid the cost. This is the remembrance of who gave it all. This is the remembrance for without any knowledge, without any recognition, other than to give himself freely. We're here to celebrate this weekend the resurrection of you. We're here to celebrate the resurrection of me. I know he's done all of the work, but now we have to start working on ourselves, that we can be totally effective in what we do. And I'm learning that by following the example of what the Son did and the sacrifice that was paid for me, it gives me hope and it builds my faith. I want to share a couple of things as we go forward to know what does it really mean that Jesus died for me. Make it personal, knowing Galatians 2:20 says that Jesus died for you because he loves you. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, Jesus died for you so that he in your place would bear God's anger on your sin. Romans 3:24-25 says Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation for his blood. We have to know that as we embrace whatever we're doing, we cannot get away from working on ourselves, continuing to be better because of what has been sacrificed for each and every one of us. See, Jesus died for me so that there will be no condemnation for you. He died for you that there be no condemnation for me. See, the Bible says that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who is to condemn. Christ Jesus is the one who died. It's not our cost or our position to continue to judge people or to write them off. As a true believer, we have to say and be in agreement The Bible does also say that if two agree on anything concerning anything on earth, it shall be done by the Father. We have to be the ones. God is showing us a new place to play together, a new place for us to join together. We call it the playground. See, when you know that Jesus died for you, you can come on in, because now you know it's a place that we can all be on one accord and we can all be equal. See, condemnation means that there's no judgment against you, that there's no judgment against me. If I'm free, you're free. If you're free, I'm free. And we have to accept each other in our freedom. And in the playground, as we play together, now we know that, as the Bible says, remember they asked Jesus that, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest of all? That who'll be the first one in heaven? Then he referred to a child. And he said, first of all, for you must be converted into children for you to even get into heaven. Not who's the greatest there, but just for you to get in. See, that's a place that I think if we really draw into that area of knowing the cost that was paid and now knowing the responsibility that relies on each and every one of us individually, and we come together in these types of forms, and we come together in these types of events, and we come together in these types of movements, we're not just running our mouths or just passing out flyers. We're actually seeing the results in people, because we're inviting them in to the same freedom that we experience. And if there's nothing else that I could share this morning, for each and every one of us to be excited and to be encouraged in my faith, is that the thing that was done by Christ was one-time situation, a one-time deal. You want to hear that message? Join me at New Vision in the morning at 9 a.m. But he did a one-time deal. Don't take it for granted that he's going to come back again, but the other than to judge us and to put us in order and then to bring the newness of heaven to the people who deserve it because of our preparation and being willing, God, thank you, to get along and love each other. The most important thing for us to heal people is to love one another. The most important thing for us to answer questions is for us to love one another and for us to work together, for us to be able to really go forward and not just be run. This is in my spirit. A lot of people are just running their mouth. And I said this before, doing good is not always doing God. Even though you got a sign saying Jesus, or you're playing a song that's saying hallelujah, because you're doing good, you may be doing that just for your own self acknowledgement, your own self needs and desires, instead of doing everything that we do that God can be glorified in everybody. See, loving each other, and I'll close here as we bring our co-hostess in and then our guests. But as I close here, as we draw closer together, that's when we really got to watch out, because now obstacles will come. Now distractions will come in, because, you know, the more we agree, Jesus, the more we can see results. But as soon as you think left and I think right and you're up and you're down, it's blown. It's over. We can still be at the same park and event and making noise. That's all we're doing is making noise. Let's start to see some results in the work that we're doing. And I'm not discarding anybody and trying to step on throw rocks at anyone today, because I know I can still do better with everything that God has me doing. I can still do better. So it's not an attack, but this is a recognition that we need to do better together and really make this work. There's 30 people on this broadcast right now, live on the board, that could talk. There should be 300. There's probably 75 online listening. There should be 4,000, because of what we're trying to do together to reach the lost and unsaved. What are the reached and lost and unsaved? Those are the people that have been hurt, that have been cast away, that have been forgotten, that have been written off, that have been said they're no good, they're ugly, they're fat, they're stupid, they're retarded, they're this, they're that. See, those are the people that are lost and unsaved. Everybody that says they know God does not believe. Everybody that says Jesus' name will not be recognized until they have a personal relationship with him and then a personal relationship with you. Now we can see things come together. Now we can see that the reason why he died for you and for me, it was to forgive mine and your sins. Matthew 26:28. He says, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Be forgiven today. But most importantly, forgive somebody. The most important thing that we have to do is let it go. Let people go. Let it off. And then when we minister to other people, this is going to drop right down in somebody's spirit. That when we now minister to people, do you know that when you're ministering to someone that's broken, that's hurt, whatever spirit that you're holding inside of you, even though you're doing good, will not be doing God, because now they take on the spirit of anger. They take on the spirit of hate. They take on the spirit, and I know we're doing good, but are we really doing God? Is my question today. And this is the most important thing I can say, even after the question, is that yes, we can. I don't even have to question, can we? But we have to agree. So that's my call today, is that whatever we say on this line today, whatever we discuss, whatever we get involved in, we must agree. And that's totally across the board. Not my way, not your way, but his way. Heavenly Father God, we thank you today for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for using us as doorposts and mats and planks across the water and on the ground and the mud, that you could get over and save those that are lost, save those that are in need, save those that are calling you but just don't really believe, because we haven't been effective enough to show that we are living proof that you are alive in us. Have your way today. Let it be done not by power and might, but by your spirit, your will, and your glory be seen through each and everything we do. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, good morning, Minister Carolyn. Welcome, co-hostess. How are you?
Praise the Lord. Good morning, Pastor Eon. Blessed and highly favored. Any day above ground is a good day for me.
Amen. That's a good thing. Amen. 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 So I know you got a lineup today. I've kind of shared what the Lord put on my heart this morning. I'll be here to support you guys, but what do you? I asked you. Did you text me their numbers?
Okay.
This is the last four. Or they can dial one. I'll bring them up, and then I'll let you guys get started. Amen. Okay. Area code 424. Last four 7789. Welcome to Real Talk.
And I believe. Kat,
good morning.
No code, last three is 0360.
Good morning. I'm on.
Oh, okay. Praise God. Good
morning. Who is this, Inoko?
Yes, this is Inoko.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
I briefly just wanted to just interject in case I'm cut off because of the reception here. Inoko and I and Kat, we went to a Survivor Speak conference in Sacramento last week. And we're all survivors in some type of way, whether it's from verbal abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse. But there's also a healing process. I know that you and I have spoke, Pastor E, about not so much of the staying on the problem, but getting to the solution. So Inoko is trained in a lot of that. We've had her on here before, so she'll be talking about that. And Kat will be talking about the healing process, about what's going on, because I have an appointment. I don't know when's the last time you may hear my voice, but I just wanted to thank the guests ahead of time. And to all the listeners for coming on and for everyone participating in this call. So Inoko has like a whole lineup, a whole lot of information, and we also have callers calling in. Inoko, if you could give Pastor E the last four of their numbers too as we go on and as we ask. So it's a blessing to have you all on, and again, I thank you for coming on.
Okay. My name is Enoko Major, and I am calling in from Riverside, California. And I want to thank Pastor E and Carolyn, Minister Carolyn, for giving us this platform. And as the pastor was powerfully saying about God's work, and the one thing that touched me is he was talking about love. And I like that he is trying to save souls and solution-based, not just talking about the problem, speak louder than words. So Pastor E and Minister Carol, I know the work you guys are doing. You guys are not just about talk. You guys are on the ground. You guys are in these hard-hit communities, and you guys are loving people. I had a chance to meet Pastor E, and I've been spending some time with Minister Carol, and they are the real deal. When they talk about going into these hard-hit communities like South Central, Nicholson Garden, Jordan Down, the homeless, wherever there is a need, they are going, and they're going sometimes with their own funds, with their own things. So this is real. They are really talking about this is a real movement. This is not just talk. This is not just a game. They are trying to change lives, and especially looking at the impact of violence.
Amen.
Bless you, bless you, bless you. Amen, amen. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that before we get started. I want to give an announcement on this in the beginning and then at the end also. Next Saturday, and I want to invite everyone on this line who's connected with the P2P Ministries, Sisters Working Against Gang Violence, Minister Kat, Minister Enoko, all of us. We want to invite you out next weekend at Sylvia Nunn's Angels. In Compton, California, we are having a free concert called Gospel versus Gun Violence, but we're going to be talking about all types of violence. My church, my home church, Hill City Church, Los Angeles, my pastor, Dietrich Hatton, and First Lady Dominique Hatton, will be doing a free concert. Our choir, praise team, we're so talented over there. We could line it up just with our church, but we have other artists coming out. That are going to be doing that. Think Big is coming out with over 1,000 pounds of meat, chicken, fish, beef, burgers, hot dogs. We're going to feed the community for free, free entertainment, free. We're asking people to bring sides and water, but this is going to be awesome. And then Dietrich Hatton is going to do a free concert at this event too. So it's going to be pretty good. If you've never heard him, he's pretty dynamic in his opportunity to minister in song. So I want to invite everybody to come out there, but we want to be effective because this is the first run of us hitting the violence in the streets and being able to join with other power packs. Think Big is from KJLH and Bishop Harold Jackson. He has his ministry out in Altadena, but they're all in the community and they do this all over the place. Now they're joining with us and myself and Sylvia Nunn's Angels to make this happen. It's going to be power packed. We want everybody to be a part of this thing. If you something you want to add, get in touch with me. I'm putting the lineups together. I'll be emceeing the event, so I'm the go-to to see what you can do, how you can help us, what we need, but we need help all the way around. We're expecting over 2,000, 3,000 people at this event throughout the day from 12 to 5. So keep that in mind. We'll announce it later. You can get in contact with me, 562-413-3710. Here at the network, you can get in touch with me on Facebook, Instagram, find me, message me. I do look at my messages every day, several times, and I'll get back to you. But this will be a dynamic, impacting event that we want to make it happen throughout the city, throughout the state, throughout anything to really get this situation down to the solution part as we work to find why is it going on? Oh my God. Then we can now, and a lot of us know the answers, but we're not working together. And so we really want this to be a part of, want you all to be a part of it. Amen. Thank you for that opportunity. Let me announce that now. I'm going to turn it back over to Enoko. I see that Minister Carolyn, dropped off the call. And Kat, good morning, Kat. I've unmuted you. What's up? What's up for show? Okay, she must be. You're probably muted on your end. But I've unmuted you on our end. Enoko, you're back on. I'm going to give it back to you until we hear from Sister Kat.
Okay, one of the things that I was looking at, we had the opportunity, and it was my first time participating in Survivor Speak, and it was more powerful and impacting than I thought. I had just experienced some trauma in my family, thinking about not attending, but I am so glad that the Holy Spirit led me to go to this event. And one of the things that Survivor Speaks is an organization that provides service in a full circle. And that's what was so powerful about it. They don't just talk about things that a survivor went through that is impacted by violence, whether it's molestation, whether it's domestic violence or gang violence or prison violence. They also are looking at healing the community. They're also working with the perpetrator. And that's what drew me to this organization. And even right now, as we're talking, working to bring a chapter into Riverside County, because I work with not just victims of violence, but the perpetrators who perpetrate upon this. And I thank God I am able to now, for 20 years I've been doing this and never shared that I worked with perpetrators because of the stigma. When you tell people you're working with people who committed violent crimes against elderly, against children, against themselves, against communities, and I'm talking about horrific violence. But the one thing Pastor E said about forgiveness and about love, if we love these people, and when I do assessments with people who are perpetrators, you find that they are broken children just in adult bodies. They have experienced so much trauma and so much violence. And so if I can ask you not to turn a blind eye, not to be in denial, not to just forget about the pain you've experienced, but when you're dealing on both sides, look at it in a full circle. So that's what I like about Survivor Speak, is they're looking at changing a cycle, and a cycle is a circle. Not just this, and most of the programs and most of the conferences that I've been through to either deal with one or the other, not the full circle. So you can also go on their website that talks to, and look at their, I don't want to just talk for them, but you can go onto Survivor Speak and you can also look at the information. And if you are a survivor, I would challenge you to be at the 2020 event, and it's usually in April. And what also that I really like about this is they look at changing things on a state level, county level, and on a national level. So I don't know if Minister Kat is on.
No, she dropped off too, so it's just me and you right now. If there's somebody else that Minister Carolyn invited, see, I wasn't in. Anyway, I have your number. I'm gonna get in touch with you after the show, probably Monday or something, so we could talk a little bit more about future shows. But yeah, they're both not on right now. So you guys, I know I actually did some of the shirts for them for Survivor Speak, and I saw it was a gala.
Oh.
Several of my covenant partners were there. We were in support of that. We had something going on here, but I know next year we're planning on attending also. And it was awesome. So now, but to the fact of what you're doing, I want to let you know, we didn't talk, but I've been praying with you, and we give our condolences to your family. And I thank God for the strength that I hear in you. And that's an encouragement. To know that you even started out, you know, I've had a tragedy in my life, but here I am still trying to help somebody else. That's dynamic in itself. So I want to just love on you a minute and just say thank you for being consistent, and thank you for being diligent in what you've been called to do. Because you could have said it's time to shut down for a minute. You could have said it's not enough, but you listened to the Holy Spirit and you followed. Now I hear your testimony of the glory of God. So thank you.
And to piggyback on that, one of the things that I want to encourage people who have experienced violence, or if you are a perpetrator in healing, is one of the things that I've been looking at is how God gave, Jesus gave the three talents. And he gave one talent. He gave one two talent. And he gave the other three talents. And one of the things that I set down and the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit, I refuse to return to God with the tragedies that I've experienced, nothing but the best. I want to multiply. I'm not going to return. We should not be returning depression. We should not be returning violence. We should not be returning abuse against abuse and neglect. And those are things I'm like, God, no matter what I'm going through, I honor and I worship and I want to return it to where it's in excellence when I stand before you or when we stand before God. So look at, I'm just challenging you to look at when you're going through something, to look at it as God trusted you with that assignment. He chose you to handle it. And today, one of the multi-million dollar businesses is problem solving. People are looking for solutions. If you are a tech engineer and you can problem solve, you're going to be a billion. I mean, that's what it's about. People want solutions. They don't, and we have to not give them quick fix solutions, but telling them the truth that healing is a process. Healing takes work. Healing takes praising God. Healing takes reading your word. It takes standing on your word. It takes putting the right people around you. And so today with technology and society, I tell anyone, there should be no excuse not to work on our brokenness, not to work on things that we have been troubled by. There should be no reason for that. And again, today I hope anything that we say could be an encouragement. I start speaking and telling your story, and that's the one thing that I found out at the Survivors Conference was we have to stop being silent about the things that are happening within our community, and especially our communities of color. We tend to hide things. Big Mama said, don't talk about it. Our grandpa said, don't, you know, we know that there was an uncle or a relative or a friend that we know keep kids away from, but we don't talk about those things. And these are things that Survivor Speaks have actually helped me with, that we need to be transparent, because we can't heal in a closet. You cannot, healing does not come from in a closet. So, like I said, with Survivor Speaks, you guys can go to your website to look at Crime Survivors for Safety and Justice, and they work with state leaders, they work with the Senate, they work with assembly people, they work with communities. They come in and they will train you how to advocate for things, how to advocate for healing programs. And one thing that I really liked about this conference is they had a multiple form of healing. They had healing, they didn't just do your traditional therapy, and working in the field of child welfare and juvenile probation, it was always traditional type of healing processes. And some of the people didn't connect to those things. And so I was a person that was kind of creative, and healing could come through dancing. It could come through through dance therapy, through animal therapy, through equestrian. They're finding out that equestrian therapy is helping people in prison, that they're doing those kind of therapies. They're not just doing the one-on-one, and I'm not disclaiming or I'm not disrespecting those who have worked hard to get their license and that are doing this work. And if you've experienced trauma, when you're looking at a clinician, you want to make sure you're interviewing that person and you're finding out, have you ever worked with people with trauma? Have you ever worked with people who have who's part of my culture? Have you ever worked with African-Americans, Latinos, Vietnamese, El Salvadorians? And you want to interview them. And you want to make sure the deeper your trauma, the longer you've been in, you want to make sure that they're licensed, because sometimes people will refer you to an intern. And don't get me wrong, interns are very good. They are really good. however you, whatever you put into it is what you're going to get out. So remember, whatever you plant, if you plant apple seeds, expect apples to grow. If you plant problems, expect problems to grow. If you plant love and goodness, expect it to grow. And I want to also part this with you. Whatever you plant, someone's going to eat from your fruit. So if you plant love, someone's going to eat from that. Plant violence, someone is going to eat from that. And that's one of the things that I'm learning from Survivor Speak is getting to the root issues. We got to get to the root of the stuff and stop trimming bushes and stop trimming trees and stop picking fruit. But we need to dig it up and replant some things. So again,
you talking.
Survivor, okay, with the, one of the things that was really, really amazing that I learned from Survivor Speak was I had a chance to go to Sacramento and talk to our assembly members and senator and the people that work with them. And I don't know if you're aware, in California there is for victim services. And the stories I heard, I was in a room with 700 survivors, and they asked us, how many of you have had to access victim services and was successful? And I think there was like about maybe 700. I saw about 10 to 15 hands go up. And I was like, wow. And all the hands that didn't go up were people who had difficulties accessing this service that each state provides for victims of violent crime. And what these services consist of is that if your loved one or has been impacted by a violent crime, whether it's sexual abuse, domestic violence, whether it's gang violence, whether it's whatever type of violence, victim services will provide counseling, will provide relocation, will provide a certain amount of funds for burial. There's a host of different things that they will provide for that family. And what I and that and anyone who's been impacted. But what I found out was you only have 2 days to report the crime to law enforcement, and you have 3 years after that to apply for your victim services. And everybody says, that's great. However, what I did not know, and I had done hundreds of applications for victim services, and some I got accepted and some I got denied, but then I fought for them. And what I found out was law enforcement, if they write one thing in there and state that you were not cooperative, that takes all victim services off the table. And I never thought in 20 years when I read a report and law enforcement says, mom, dad, child, community is not being cooperative, I never questioned, can you define what uncooperative means? Never asked in my field, and I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? How many people, you know, have I impacted by not asking one simple question? Defined uncooperative. And what I found out from talking to victims at the conference was there was a mother, and this story impacted me. Her daughter shared it, and it was so impactful that she stated her brother had been shot, and her mom had, this was her second son she was losing, and law enforcement came to the hospital and badgered, and this mom in her late 60s, she didn't even live with her son. Her son was an adult, and they were badgering her and questioning her like she was a criminal, and because her answers was, I don't know. He doesn't live with me. He hasn't lived with me in years. They denied, they said that she was uncooperative. So therefore, they denied her assistance with helping bury her son. They denied her, since they denied her application, she's not able to get counseling services paid through victim services. And in if it was a, and I don't know the details of the violence, if it was a violence that put her and her family at risk, she was not even, she didn't even qualify to have relocation services. I also found out another family from El Salvador who had to pay to come here. Their child, 14 years old, was gunned down in front of their home. And law enforcement, because they were uncooperative, law enforcement's definition was they are uncooperative. So, therefore, they were unable to get relocation funding, and they were tormented, and they were tortured, and their children were exposed to ongoing violence, human trafficking, all sorts of things, because they did not know who these people were, where they were, but because in the report stated families uncooperative. And one of the things on the defense of law enforcement side, we have to remember they have a window of sometimes 48 hours to find out what's going on, because once the 48 hours is gone, it's like the community sometimes, you know, it's like the information people, you know, maybe not remember things. So they try to get the information while it's kind of still fresh. But when you're going into communities who do not trust, who do not have a relationship with law enforcement, and that saying, whatever you say will be used against you, is true. So a lot of times when I heard these victims, these survivor stories, I understood why they either didn't know stuff or they didn't even want to say anything, because they didn't know if they were going to put themselves or their families at further risk. So as a professional, I called some of my co-workers and people in the, you know, in the community who can make a change, and said, have law enforcement ever defined what uncooperative to you mean? How many times you've gotten reports that says that that said that the family was uncooperative, and a person said, I'm sitting looking at one right now, and only one line is in there that says family's not being cooperative. And I said, what is going to be your outcome? And they said, normally would be we're going to be going out, investigating, possibly picking up children, or possibly these parents are going to be arrested. Said, but no, now that you put this across to me, I'm calling back law enforement and ask them to define what they mean by not cooperative. Because sometimes people are in shock. They're in, you don't know what their emotions are going through. So to not keep going on, two of the important bills that we were advocating for, and it's SB, which means Assembly Bill 375, and SB 375, this bill was authorized by Senator DeRazzo of California, and this bill would remove the limitation time for crime survivors to apply for services through California Victims Compensation Board. So what that means is we ask our governor to remove, don't put a stipulation of 3 years, because being in the child welfare and probation and working with adults, a lot of times a mother who had been sexually abused when she was 7 or 8 and now she's 30 years old having her own children, and they're going through that cycle of abuse, she's the first time she's disclosing that she's been abused. You think about your own stories of the first time you shared something that you kept a secret. So there was a time limit in California of 3 years that you can have the victim services. So we're asking, take the limit off. And when people are ready to tell their story, they're able to tell their story and get the help that they deserve and that they need for the healing process. So right. That was SB 375, and that bill was authored by Senator DeRazzo, and so he's of California. Then there was another important bill that was AB, which means Assembly Bill 1449, okay? And that bill will remove the reporting requirement. We said law enforcement cannot be the final determination if a person should get victim services. They should not be the end-all. You have mandated reporters who are now across the board. It's not just your teachers anymore. It's your doctors, the hospital, your therapists. why can't a victim tell someone who's a mandated reporter and allow them to write the assessment and determine, instead of we're having law enforcement determine if a person is going to get these services or not? And so we're one of the things that I can tell you is that we were down there, and it's not just me. It was hundreds of us hitting the state capitol and talking about these bills. And the bills both were passed on the floor. So now we're just waiting for our governor. I want you, the governor of California, even if you're not from California, I want you to flood his phone, flood his email, flood whatever. And our governor is Gavin Newsom. You can Google him and find out.
Yeah.
Because we want this bill signed. We want it in effect. And we don't want the limitations anymore on people's healing process. And so those are things that right now I am so excited about working on. And one of the things at the Survivors Conference is they provided healing groups. I mean, from we were pampered massages to Tai Chi to yoga. You guys know what I'm
talking
about.
Okay, now you're going to make me jealous now. Now you're going to make me jealous. I could have went got me a mini spa. Minister Kat is on the line. Welcome,
okay.
Minister Kat.
Hey, what it do?
What's up for show?
For show.
Thank you. She was a beautiful soul. I had a chance to meet her for the first time at Survivor Speak. Powerful, powerful, powerful. And the circle she hangs out with blessed me so much. Thank you, Minister Kat.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure as well. And even seeing you on last week at the Healing Vigil. That was awesome, the things that you donated.
Thank you.
Okay, well, Kat, I'm going to bring you in, and I believe you had some things you wanted to share today. Welcome to the Now Network and to Real Talk with Pastor E. I'm not even going to call her name. She ran off on us this morning. So now we're just back to Real Talk with Pastor E and Minister Inoko and Minister Kat.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on this morning with you all. We have another Healing Day event today at 1:30 to 4:30 on 70th and Figueroa at the LA Sports Activity Center. This is our last healing event. I won't say last because they never say last, but as far as the month, with it being National Crime Week, and we was at Survivor Speak, and then we had the Healing Vigil, and now we having the healing event.
Amen. Amen. You guys need to be a part of that. Now, people listening out there, you'd be like, man, I want to get involved. That was an invitation right there. You don't have to be on the program. You don't have to be on the flyer. Come out and be a part of that. People ask me, why you wasn't on the flyer? Because I don't need to be. I just need to do what I'm called to be. So don't always look for invites. When you hear that we have things going on, we're just, and I'm speaking liberally for all of us, we're asking you to come out. It's saying that's a personal invitation just for you. And if you need your name on it, text me and I'll send you a named invitation.
Right. Absolutely. We're going to serve lunch. We're going to have fried chicken, baked chicken, I believe, rice and salad and macaroni cheese, lemonade, pound cake. Yeah.
We're
also collaborating with Volunteers of America, Gang Reduction Youth Development. Who else? The Sister Circle, SWAG, Sisters Working Against Gang Violence, P2P Ministries going to be in the house. You see, I threw you in on that one.
I caught that one. Yes. But I will be out and about today. I got several events. We're going to be in Kelly Park. We're doing a gang intervention at Kelly Park with Council Lady Emma Sharif and Jackie Ventures and some other partners in Compton. And then we're going to run around too. We got several stops. So now I've got another one I'm clicking on my agenda.
Yes, and it's really you know, mothers who have lost their children, fathers who have lost their children, and siblings, putting on a little show for the community. And they're going to do a play. They're going to read a letter from behind the wall, his transformation from follower to leader. It's going to be really, really touchy. And there's going to be a little panel as well. And our MCs are going to be Ben Taco from Ceasefire and Skip Townsend from Second Call. So it's going to be nice. It's going to be nice. So they already told me I have to introduce. So I thought that I wouldn't be on program, that I'll be able to, you know, just like be in the mix. They're like, no, Kat, you know, you got the mic. I had the radio show Saturday and New Way of Life this Thursday night just passed. So, but back to Sacramento, you know, I heard Inoko talking about it. Yes, it was Sacramento Survivor Speak. It was really awesome. Off the chain. And even though when we tell people about it, it's hard for them to believe it. It's like you would really have to be there to really get it, to understand what we're talking about. You know, 700 survivors in one conference setting, survivors supporting survivors. Man, Lord willing, next year you can attend, Pastor E.
Well, I think I had already put my name on it as Inoko was talking. I think you were on your other call. Yes, I'm marking it now to be prepared for the celebration. But the one thing that I like about all of us is that we don't wait for a celebration for next year. It's every day. This is an everyday work, everyday struggle. It's everyday opportunities to save people. And don't just get caught up on the conferences, y'all out there in radio land. We're talking about everyday stuff. So if you listen to a lot of us and watch our pages, we got stuff going on all the time that you can just come on out and be a part of it and start sharing your story so you can get healed. You know how many people are acting like they're okay, but they're really still hurt?
And let me tell you how I even became involved with Survivor Speak. I never even knew about Survivor Speak until I was with an organization called Ten Toes In. And the founder, Darlene Burke, invited me to Survivor Speak. And when I went there, it opened up so many doors, meaning with myself to be able to share my story, because I was sexually assaulted by gunpoint by a gang member at 17 years old. And I never told that to anyone, even in that space, even in that setting, that, wow, I have a voice. Like there were no trauma recovery in the school. You know, I didn't have counselors and to be able to deal with that. And you're talking about holding that pain for over 30 years.
My God.
So that was a real breaking point for me 2 years ago, with me being wrongfully terminated from my job because I'm married to a lifer in prison. So, you know, we fight to end mass incarceration. But working for the county over 28 years, but because of who you marry to, you're going to be terminated, discharged.
Yeah.
So that was another, you know, so we talking about, man, I'm going through several healing, you know. But God is good. And I give him all the glory and the honor. So
Amen.
With that, going to that event, that opened up for me to be able to share my story with other survivors that it's okay, you know.
Yeah,
that's the whole important that I want the listeners to know. Yes, every day we out here, we doing the work and, you know, you healing and you're going to this and you're going to that. But at the same time, there's a support group for you that can relate to you. You know?
Right, and stay connected to you.
There you go.
Staying connected. Amen, amen. Well, I'm excited. I'm looking for other men to come out and tell some of the stories that we've been through as children, that we, you know, we thought we were all that, and when you were really being abused as a kid. I mean, and that's not taking or blaming anybody. You know, people do only what they know how to do, and I can hold a lot of grudges over some things that have happened at a young age in my life. Being a preacher's kid and being a church, it's a lot of stories I could tell you, and I don't even get into that, that I had to go through through counseling with other men that had that same instance. But God is showing me now that was behind closed doors, but nobody knew about it. We got healed. But what about the next man that may probably went through the same thing as an 8-year-old boy and a 17-year-old girl is fondling you, and you think it's something special because you're feeling things about it and it's really wrong, but you never said anything because it made you feel like a man. You know, we're looking to get those voices back out. We're praying for that healing can come Out of the Closet. Oh, I like that. That was holy. Look, that dropped from the Holy Spirit. That healing can come out the closet. My God.
Yeah,
how many people got a testimony out there that somebody went through just what you went through and you okay today, you think. But if you really let it go, you get free. Because until I came out the closet, even with my healing, Jesus, I didn't get healed.
Right.
Somebody, look, we ought to all be racing right now to write that book.
Okay, healing come out the closet. You know, I had a radio show said something out the trauma closet.
Yes.
That was one of my, but that's confirmation in what you said. Seven out of
Amen.
No, she
dropped off. She dropped off the call.
Did she?
Yes, bless she did. I thought I heard her about to say something. Oh, there she's back. She's back now. Yeah, because I must have said something that triggered her because she got excited about to say something and hung up on me. Anoko, you're back on.
We talked about the men. I met so many powerful men at the Survivor Speak. I was so blown away to see all my brothers there talking about they had experience. There were men. I met a man who had just been released of 27 years to life in prison. And he said it was through the healing of self-awareness and learning to love that he finally was his release. So I met several men who had talked about their abuse as from little boys to men. And this person said, I was so raging with violence. And that he said, I went through self-awareness, self-healing. He said, I still practice. He practiced Tai Chi. He said, I meditate. And he says, and I see myself doing good. And so... you were talking about these people, and I said we have to start not just believing, trusting, and having faith. We have to expect God to heal us, because I know I was one of those people that got on my knees and prayed, but it was that little mustard seed of doubt and not expectation, and I had to learn, expect it. Because how many times we called Big Mama or grandmother and we said, pray for us, and we just knew the prayer was going to be answered if they prayed.
Oh, yeah, come on now. Come on.
Why can't I have that kind of faith on my knees?
Right. And it's amazing, too. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. What you're saying is saying that this past Wednesday, I went to Lancaster State Prison for the first time to share my story with offenders and of those, you know, your loved ones. And by us sharing, they were able to open up. And they said for the first time that with our stories, they felt like they wasn't even in prison because we treated them like they were human beings and that they're going to do good, that they're going to transformation and come out and be productive citizens. And some are facing life sentence saying, hey, you know, I have hope now. So I'm healing. So, it was awesome.
Right, man. And God, this is something, and I'll prophetically speak this to everybody on here. This is a very, very seasonal time for harvest. Now, I'm not talking about harvest of financial blessings and monies. And if God's going to bless you because you're a hard worker, you're going to get that anyway. But I'm talking about the harvest in the land. People are really opening up to hear hope. People are really ready for solutions right now. And if we don't address and be strategic right now, we're going to lose out on the harvest of people. People are ready to be healed. People are ready to get back whole. But we have to be the couriers and the vessels to bring them on in and let them know that they're accepted as they are. And don't change. I tell people that all the time. Stop. Don't put it out. Don't stop. Stop. Don't do that. But let me show you, if you give your attention, if you just split it down the middle and give him half of what you're doing now, eventually that's going to be taken away. But just give him time. Just get to know him. Don't worry. Don't stop what you're doing. Keep doing it. But give him more of your time and then see that God can heal you. And now you want to change yourself. But if I tell you to stop, you're going to get more. I remember that as a little kid. My mama could tell me no, I'm going to do everything against that. And we have to see, we still have those type of attitudes in us that we follow that. You tell somebody to go left, they're going right. So why not just show them how to spend time with right, then they won't do what? Wrong. You like that, didn't you? Drop.
You know what? One of the things I want to share and put out there, in 2011, I lost my son to violence. And today is his birthday, and we're celebrating. Ooh. He was an identical twin. And so I tell people through that healing, the night that he passed, he lived for 10 days. And God said to me, as clear as in my ear, he said, the only way you're going to get through this is unforgiveness, love, and giving. And that day, November 21st, we began to give. And it's 8 years that we're celebrating, 10 days of giving. We do it in November, and we do it in April. Telling you, I have never looked back. And this is my story. I don't know what's for everybody else. But God said, I don't care if it's a smile you got to give, if it's somebody you got to pick up the phone and ask them to forgive you. If there's somebody you, I mean, giving just don't come monetarily. So I tell people, right. I don't care if I got to go buy a box of diapers and give everybody one diaper.
Come on now. That's right.
I'm going to give. If I have a popsicle, I got to break it in half. That's all I got. You getting half of that. But sometimes we think and we sit back and wait till we got all the money or whatever. That's easy to do. But what about, like I said, if you have something, are you willing to give somebody just a bite of it? Just a bite. And so I want to shout out to celebrate my son, Jesse, and Jerome for their birthday. And like I said, God has healed us. And then I lost my nephew a year later to violence. And again, through giving has helped us heal.
Hallelujah.
Has helped us heal.
Well, we celebrate life today.
And violence hit across every line because we never thought in our family. No, not us. And it's like, and I tell people, I don't care. Violence has no, just doesn't discriminate. I don't care if you live in Beverly Hills to South Central. It will not discriminate.
That's right. It don't care where you at. It will come. And it's doing that across our nation. If we just pay attention, a lot of the news stuff doesn't go unless it's ghetto. But it's a lot of things going on across the board. Well, I'm excited today. We want to say happy birthday to both of your sons in life. We know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we know who we celebrate with. My God, I'm jealous. I'm going to leave that alone. The people ask me why I say that. I'm like, well, my goal is everything I'm doing is so I can get to him. Somebody gets to him through, you know, now it's your body will not, that's earthly stuff, but your spirit now, man, I'm like, no, look at the rejoicing. So happy birthday, amen, in life and in the presence of God, amen. I thank both of you women of God for sharing today. We want to always tell you that this platform is open. Let's use it. You know, if you got something going on, get at me during the week. Let's schedule it for Saturday, that we can promote it and get it out there. Use this this platform that we can reach the lost and unsaved. So I appreciate you. I look forward to partnering with you guys and working with both of you. I want to see both of you next weekend at the concert. It's going to be dynamic. You get to meet a lot of. It's going to be a lot of mixing and a lot of connecting. And we're believing that we can eventually we can do a Long Beach Boulevard gang march. Down there on some collaboration and I don't even want to use the word truce because that means it's only temporary. Right. We're talking about putting it off, take it off. Let's rip it. Let's tear it down. Let's break the walls of division. Let's not truce it. Truce means it could go off the next day, but we're going to kill the truce. I think, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. We're going to call that. Kill the truce to come together and not tie rags, destroy rags, not buying colors, separate them. Stop bringing all this stuff there. You can still see the separation. Let's make it where it's equal, where there's no condemnation, and we can see the spirit of one moving. I like that one.
You know what,
amen.
I don't know if we were, there was a young lady, Kim Shannon, from Atlanta, Georgia, and when I was talking to Minister Carroll about the agenda, I had I know that she had been impacted by violence, so I didn't know if you were opening it up to guests today or if that's going to be for next week.
Yeah, we're going to do that next week. I kind of got, and I'm not afraid to tell the truth. I kind of got thrown this morning, And so I want to talk with both of you guys more this week, that next week we'll be right where we need to be, that we can know who's involved, who we're going to bring in, and we can flow on that one. We're at the end of our time.
And I'm Kim Shannon from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm glad. I think she's on the line today, but she will be back next week, and she has a powerful story. So,
yes, we want all stories next week. And it's, and when we plan it, I want you guys to know, it doesn't have to be an hour broadcast, but normally I'm doing a replay if I don't have an agenda. And we'll, when I talk to you guys this week, we'll plan it out. We can go 2 hours if we need to. But we want everybody to get their voice out there next week. If you're on the line and you've been invited, I apologize that we didn't have that queued in, but we will take care of you next week. Now, I don't want anybody to hang up because I'm about to bless everybody with something that is pretty dynamic. My friend, my brother, my pastor, Diedrich Hatton, was inspired by God to write a song and release it for free. It's not, you can't buy it. It's not out for sale. You can go on YouTube and listen to it all day long. The video is off the chain, but we have an MP3 version that we can play on our network. We're members of Hill City, and we also support Diedrich Hatton on our radio station. But the name of the song is "He Carried the Cross for Me." Well, you can put your name on that. Debuting here on the Now Network, Diedrich Hatton, "He Carried the Cross for Me."
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amazing grace, should that's when he left out in the crowd. Love was nowhere to be found. And they set free the thief and crucified.
bless you all. Have a wonderful resurrection weekend. Yes, resurrect you in Jesus' name. Love you guys.
Love you too.
Love you too. Thank you.